listening to the Soul Source podcast. I'm your host, Raquel Amel. Soul Source exists to share stories that are shaping our world today. We go straight to the source of the information to give you the best insights on topics and to show you what's being done about these issues, as well as how you can help make a difference. So buckle up, Soul Source Society, because we're about to get started.
Network, you know, get yourself into companies through referrals, because that's the best way for you to actually get in front of someone.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Soul Source. I'm Raquel Amel. COVID-19, it is impacting so many parts of our lives. It's crazy just to think about how much has changed from early March to now as we're coming out on the other side of this quarantine. Unfortunately, there were a lot of people who lost their jobs as a result of businesses being shut down, so as a nation, we could get a handle on this monster of a virus. The number right now is around 26 million Americans, just under 30 million, who have filed for unemployment in the United States. But who knows just how many of those jobs will be waiting for people as we start going back to work and come out on the other side of this. And now, as the world is starting to open up again, many people are finding themselves trying to find a new normal. And for some, that means job hunting. But how do you job hunt in a world where people wear masks? And some companies, they're still working remotely. A lot more seem to have gone digital in ways that we didn't do before this pandemic struck. To answer those questions and so many more, we are talking with the expert. She is the founder of a company called The Essay Expert, an executive resume writing company. She's also a certified master resume writer and a LinkedIn extraordinaire, even publishing a book called How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile. We are talking with Brenda Bernstein. Brenda, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Good to be here, Raquel.
I'm really excited to talk with you. I can only imagine your world has got to be very busy right now with everybody out looking for jobs, out of work. I mean, working at a resume company and LinkedIn, you're right in the midst of all this.
I am. And, you know, it is a catch-22 because a lot of people are out of work and they're mostly looking for inexpensive ways to support their job search. So it's really important to me to get out materials that are accessible to everybody. So I'm glad that we're doing this, this interview here, that is going to be accessible. And I also have other things that I've recorded that are on my website.
I'm excited to dive into these questions with you because of your background. And I know a lot of people right now, they're finding themselves out of work, out of a job, with those bills piling up and having to choose between, you know, either feeding a family or paying bills. And so that makes it really hard. People are eager to get back to work. Now, as the economy is slowly starting to come back to life, what is the first step that you recommend to people when it comes to job hunting right now?
Well, the first thing that is really important, no matter, you know, whether it's COVID-19 or any time in your job search, is to really talk to people and understand your network. And I suppose even before that, you want to figure out what kind of job do you want to do? Because once you start talking to your network, you want to let them know what interests you so that they can start their wheels turning and see who they might know. And also you can start contacting people at companies where you know you want to work.
And there's that good old saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. That seems to be very relevant right now.
It is very, very true in the job search because companies want referred people to come into their companies because that lets them know that there's a connection, there's a level of trust that they don't have with someone just applying online randomly.
And is that one way, and there's got to be more, on how people can try to stand out? Because with everybody, of 26 million, almost 30 million people without a job, everybody's doing the same thing right now, and that can be intimidating. So how do you make yourself stand out?
Yes, so that is part of it, is using your networks, using your connections. Another part is, what can I give back? How can I help out these people? You know, who knows what it is? There was an online summit, but one of the participants actually posted such positive reviews of the sessions that he had been listening to, and started publicizing the summit. And he ended up getting quite a bit of attention at the summit. So the leader of the summit gave him about 5 minutes to talk about what he would have been doing to get some airtime. And if I had been an employer, this man was very impressive. Like he was a young man, clearly like focused and wanting to help out people. And he would be someone that I'd want to have work for me. If he had the skills I was looking for, I would have tagged him as someone I want to work for my company. So anything that you can do to just go out there and help companies, help other people, be positive, not be like a leech. You know, if you're a leech, like, help me, help me, help me. Eventually people are going to get tired of that. So network, you know, get yourself into companies through referrals, because that's the best way for you to actually get in front of someone. Give, be a net giver. And then the other thing is, if you are applying to positions online, then you do need to make sure that your resume is a match for the computer system. And that's also going to be more important than ever, because if you're not a match, and these are called ATS systems, applicant tracking software systems. So if you don't get through the ATS, even if you did apply through a referral, there might be so many people referring that you might not get through unless you are a match.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, because that's new. I don't know about ATS. So how do you make sure that your resume is a match?
There are some sites that you can use. One is JobScan and one is SkillSync. It's SkillSync, and the other one, JobScan. JobScan is probably the most popular one. So some job seekers are using that, and basically you upload your resume, or you copy and paste your resume on one side of the screen, and you copy and paste the job description on the other side of the screen, and you hit a button and it tells you what percent of a match you are. It can be a little bit difficult to do this. You know, I've had clients come in who have tried to do this themselves, and their resume ends up being really long and convoluted, and no human being would ever want to read it. Yeah, they had a really high match, but that wasn't going to actually do the trick. But you're looking for about an 80% match, and you want to make sure that the resume still is attractive and readable to a human being. So, you know, that's something that we would do for people if they get a little bit frustrated trying to do that on their own.
What is that perfect length for a resume? How long should it be?
I would say 2 pages for most people. If you're just starting out and you don't have a lot of experience, then it could be a 1-page resume. But really, most people do have a 2-page resume. And even the hiring managers or recruiters who say, oh, we want a 1-page resume, when you look at the statistics, most of the people they actually hire have a 2-page resume.
That's interesting. Okay. Now, talking about resumes, I mean, that's one part of job hunting, but there's so many pieces to this. How is this whole job hunting, job searching, and applying process changing right now in this COVID-19 post-pandemic new normal world that we're living in?
Well, some things haven't changed, right? There's still job postings. You still apply for them. You still use your networks. I would say one thing that you might expect is the hiring process might take a little bit longer. You would expect to have phone and video interviews instead of in-person interviews. So you need to learn how to prepare for those and look good when you're doing an interview. And a lot more companies are going to be looking for people to work remotely. It used to be that there were some companies who liked remote workers, but they mostly wanted people in their offices. That is going to shift and change. You know, a lot of companies have adjusted for COVID-19 and they're not going back because they found that it actually works for them, which means that you're going to be, on the one hand, you're going to be competing against people possibly all over the country or the world for positions, mostly the country, right? And on the flip side, it means if you don't live in the place where your company is that you want to work at, you have actually a chance of working there anyway. You know, there might be jobs that have opened up to you that weren't available before because you were supposed to be there in person. Now it's not an issue anymore.
That is a crazy thought to think of. That's a big shift to go to remote working and to be able to, say, work for a company in another state and be from home. That is huge.
Yep.
So with that being the case, you know, again, you're losing that physical part of it in some cases. So how do you sell yourself then if you're trying to do a video interview or an over-the-phone interview? Because that can be a little harder to do than coming in person and physically talking to somebody.
Yeah, well, you might want to practice. You probably want to, what I do is before I have any kind of video interview like we're having right now, mm-hmm. I like to check because I have FaceTime on my computer. So I turn that on and I see, okay, what does the background look like? And does that look okay? So I check it out beforehand. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that there was that Good Morning America, the funny thing on Good Morning America, right? Make sure that you're wearing pants, right?
That was very funny. I saw that interview.
Yeah. But, you know, that's sort of a metaphor for make sure that you look good. You still want to dress for the interview. You're not going to interview in your pajamas, right? Like, put on whatever your office. It can be casual, but office casual, you know, that's going to look nice for the interview and make a good impression. If you're a woman, put on a little bit of makeup. You don't have to go crazy. But the thing is, I mean, I'm someone who doesn't wear makeup in my normal life. And whenever I'm on camera, I put on a little bit of makeup because it really makes a difference in how you come across on camera. So yeah. Even if it's your thing that you're a natural, you don't wear makeup ever in your life, if you're going to be on camera, you kind of have to because you just don't look as good. No one looks as good, really. But I guess it's a little bit trickier. You know, men, it's not as accepted to wear makeup, so you might not do that. Make sure your lighting is good. I have a ring light that is currently shining light on me. And that's why even though there is backlighting, you can still see my face clearly. So if you don't have a ring light, you're not going to want to have any kind of light coming in from the back because that'll wash you out. So I would say go online, look up how to create a good background for yourself. Don't use the Zoom, like if you're on a Zoom interview, I would say don't use the fake backgrounds because that distorts how you look. It really does. It distorts your movement. It can sometimes interfere with with the bandwidth. So your voice might get broken up as well. So I really don't recommend that. For sound, you want to make sure you have, so I have this little ball microphone that I'm using. It just plugs in my computer with a USB and I'm talking. I'm just using some Bose wired earphones to listen. And that means that any kind of bleeps and things like that hopefully are not coming through. So I might hear a bleep on my computer, but it's not actually coming through to the video. So you want to, as much as possible, make sure there's no sound. If you have housemates, family, roommates, whatever, tell them you're in an interview. You want to have quiet, not people knocking on your door, or noise in the background. Just like make sure it's a really good environment. And then, of course, you want to practice your interviewing skills just like you would for any interview. And there are things online that you can use to do that. There are coaches who can help you with your interview skills. So use them. It's worth a little bit of an investment in your time and possibly a little bit of money to hire someone to help you with your interviewing skills and make sure that you're looking good, you're sounding good, you're not saying too many ums if you're someone who says or you know or whatever or like. Or whatever that thing is that you say, see if you can cut those out. Practice, 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 practice. Make sure you're answering the questions. And that's something that you want to practice with someone too. If you don't answer the questions in an interview, you're not going to come across well. And at the same time, you want to have certain points that you want to make and find a way to fit those into your answers. But make sure that you do answer the question and don't avoid the question.
Yes, because they will catch on to that. So practice does make perfect. All right. So You mentioned that you wrote a book about LinkedIn, how to write a killer LinkedIn profile. So I want to talk about LinkedIn a little bit because we're talking a lot about resumes, but LinkedIn is out there. And now as we're in this digital world, it is a digital platform and it allows you to network and work with people, talk to people and apply for jobs, as well as kind of have a LinkedIn. Your LinkedIn account is kind of like a resume. So my first question for you is, does LinkedIn replace a traditional resume or should people have both, one or the other? What is your take on that?
You absolutely need both. And some people might be confused because on LinkedIn or on some job posting, it says apply through LinkedIn. The thing is, even if you apply through LinkedIn, they're not just going to use your LinkedIn profile. They're also going to ask you to attach a resume. So you want to do both. Your resume has a very specific purpose. It's very succinct. Bam, bam, bam. Get the information really quickly. Catch their attention with the summary at the top. Get their attention with some highlights. Make sure you have the right keywords in there and you're writing job, dates, location, bullet, bullet, bullet. It's something that can be quickly scanned. LinkedIn is a little bit different because your about section gives you 2,000 characters to write about yourself. Now, that is nothing like you have in a resume. You do not have 2,000 characters to tell your story in a resume. Even before you get to the experience and what you've done at each place you've worked. So you want to use LinkedIn. Actually, it's 2,600 characters now. You have a little bit of ability now to use bolding, use underline, use italics, and there are specific ways to do that. I have a blog about that that I just published. It doesn't work. You can't like use the bolding and the underline and the italics in Word and then copy and paste it into LinkedIn. That doesn't work. You need to use something called Yay Text, or there's another site that works for that. But I would definitely recommend at least looking at my recent blog about how to add graphics to your LinkedIn profile, because it looks really cool to have these little bold things, use little emojis, tastefully, of course, don't go overboard and appropriately for your industry. But that's something that you can do. And you really get to showcase your personality with those 2,600 characters. You can write paragraphs, you know, in the first person. Say, hey, here's where I'm coming from. Here's what I care about. And yes, you want to get across some of the important things that you've done, but it's a very different animal than a resume. But then the resume has that ability. It's the thing they're going to put through the ATS, which we talked about. They're going to use your resume. And it's something that a recruiter or a hiring manager can look at really easily and scan and get just a really quick picture of who you are and whether you're someone that they'd be interested in talking to.
So when you talk about those 2,600 characters, that's a way to stand out, right? So it'd be a way to make yourself be a little different than the average person applying?
Yes, because not everyone does a really great job with that section and there's a lot of opportunity there. A lot of people will take what's already not a very compelling summary at the top of their resume. So that's another story. Like, how do you write a really great summary at the top of your resume that grabs some attention? But people will take what they have at the top of their resume, which already may be very general and not very results oriented and not have anything all that special in it. And they'll copy that and paste it into their LinkedIn profile. And it's almost even worse when it's in the LinkedIn profile.
Okay. So does LinkedIn work better for somebody over somebody else? And here I'm thinking white collar or blue collar jobs. Is it just a better resource for one job type or another? Or is it really across the board something that's useful for everybody to be on?
I think it is more useful for white collar and professional type jobs. If you're looking for a job as a mechanic, it's probably not where you need to go. If you're looking for a job, you know, stocking in a grocery store, probably don't need to be on LinkedIn for that. Teaching job, you know, elementary school teachers, mm-hmm. Not that essential, you know, that you look on LinkedIn. You might want to have a profile there because really, if you do apply for a job, there's a good chance that someone's going to look on LinkedIn. and see if, you know, if you have a good profile, no matter mm-hmm. what the job is. But I don't think that most companies are really posting the blue collar jobs so much on LinkedIn. And there's so many other ways to get access to those jobs that it's probably not that important, but I wouldn't say absolutely don't do it, because mm-hmm. you might be surprised. And more companies are going to LinkedIn for every kind of job. So just don't rule it out. And what I say tomorrow could, what I say today could change tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, things are changing so fast these days. When it comes to content and people are posting on LinkedIn, it's different than Facebook. I'm going to give a little personal story here, but I had a LinkedIn profile. I started it right out of college. I graduated in 2013. And then, you know, I didn't use it so much right away out of college. It kind of sat there. And then within recent years, I've started posting on it and started using it. And I'm amazed at the response and the reaction that I get from posting content. But I'll be honest, for me, it was hard to get started because I didn't really know, like, what do you post? What is interesting? It's totally different than, say, like Facebook, where you can post any, you know, just about anything. And so what is it? Because it is a little intimidating to post on LinkedIn.
Well, it's going to depend on what you do. One thing to keep in mind is that, you know, you might think, oh, well, someone else already wrote this. Someone else already posted this. Well, but not everyone saw what that other person posted. And you have your own network. So if you post something, they're going to read it. And if you wrote it in your own words, then it will have a little bit of a different angle probably than whatever someone else wrote. So don't be shy to post something. I think a personal, when I say personal, I mean professional, you know, a personal professional story about something that happened might be a good start if there's something that you learned from that, or that it's a good teaching opportunity to share with other people. You can also share things that other people have posted. So if there's a really great article that you found, you can post it and make sure that you tag the people who might, you know, tag the author, of course, so that they get supported by what you're doing. This is one of the ways that you can be a net giver, is by sharing what other people wrote and commenting, but commenting intelligently. The like button is great, but it only goes so far. It's not going to actually get you into a conversation. And you want to get into conversations if you're a job seeker, where you get to share your opinion and interact and maybe learn something or contribute something.
It's that networking piece, and it is so important, the interaction with people, because that's how you build those relationships.
Yes.
To that point with networking and applying for jobs, because that is something you can do on LinkedIn as well. Some places will post job postings, but sometimes people hold themselves back. And with this, I'm talking about a specific statistic. I think I saw it. I think it might have been a Forbes article. Don't quote me on that. But it has floated around out there about men and women, and that men, if they meet 60% of a criteria, they'll apply for a job. Women are much more conservative and feel as if they need to meet 100% of criteria, which can almost be a barrier and hold women back a little bit. So what is your take on all of this? How much criteria should you meet when applying for a job?
Well, I think that the magic number is 80%. So I'm not going to tell people not to apply if they meet 60%, because you never know. But you definitely do not need to wait until you meet 100% of the requirements. Now, I will say, you may have seen this in that study as well, mm-hmm. that although that's true that more men applied, because they applied when they met only 60% of the qualifications, and women wanted to, you know, waited until they met 100%. More women were actually hired, like a greater percentage of the women who applied were hired. So there is something to it. You know, if you meet a higher, maybe it's because they were women and companies want more women working for them, or maybe it was because they met more of the qualifications, you know. So I would say don't shortchange yourself. Apply if you meet 80%, but don't be too scared away by that statistic either.
Yeah. And so 80%, that means there's 20% that either sort of kind of meet or not entirely meet. And how do you sell yourself there then when you're applying so that it's not like, oh, I just don't know how to do these things? Because people can learn, you can grow. So how do you do that?
Well, you give examples of how you've learned and grown before. You always want to give examples. So there are probably other jobs that you had where there was something you didn't know how to do and you learned how to do it and then you ended up doing it really well. And if you can have some examples of things like that, then you're going to give a really good idea of how you could actually approach new challenges at this next job.
Such good advice. And also, while you're in the job market right now and people are looking, do you have any knowledge, or I guess, what could you tell people? Is there anything that's hot right now? Is there any job market where there's a lot of people looking and people could check that out?
So if you're blue collar, I'm sure people are aware, like Amazon's hiring. These are, but they are possibly seasonal jobs, so be aware of that. But grocery stores are hiring, and retailers, online retailers are hiring because they're very, very busy. Mm-hmm. Then there are other industries that I would say a lot of industries that are at the intersection of some industry and technology are some of the industries that are hiring the most. So if it's finance is hiring. So, but then finance and technology, if it's fintech, especially, a lot of those companies are hiring. And then it's like the intersection of retail and tech, the intersection of health and tech, anything that's intersecting tech, that's going to be something that is booming. And then, you know, there are some that, you know, that I've seen where like there's a locally sourced meat company that is just booming right now because there are these problems with the meat supply chain. But this one company that already had their model locally is doing really, really well and they're hiring. So I would say, look online, keep Googling what companies are hiring in COVID-19. And again, that it can change. New things could come up. New industries can come up. Unfortunately, the first industry that people think might be hiring is healthcare. And that's not necessarily true because so many resources are going to COVID-19 that a lot of the healthcare industry is struggling because all those elective procedures are not happening anymore. So if you're, you know, a nurse or a doctor, there's a need, but it's not exactly the same boom in the hiring that you might expect. I mean, pharmacy is another one that, you know, people are hiring. Some people are hiring, some people are firing.
These are great points. And I know this is only the surface. I know we're covering high level here, and I could probably talk to you all day about how to apply for a job and the best techniques. But before we go here, Brenda, I want to know, do you have any last piece of knowledge that you could leave us with, or even some words of encouragement as people are out there trying to find jobs right now?
I would say there are still jobs. You know, they're not all gone. While there are many, many jobs that have been eliminated, there are also a lot of jobs that are being created. And if you are a resourceful person, an adaptable person, and are able to stay positive amongst all of what's happening, then I believe that you will find something. And a lot of states are opening up, and that's going to mean that some jobs are also coming back that were eliminated or put on hold. It's a tough time for sure. And a lot of people are struggling. I'm very saddened by a lot of the news that I'm hearing, you know, in certain sectors of the population. And I think that for a lot of job seekers, there's definitely hope, especially if you're willing to learn a new skill or do something that you haven't done before, or go and take a temporary job when you were looking for a full-time job. There's work out there, and use your resources, use your networks, and you can go and find those opportunities.
Such great advice, Brenda. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing your insights. I know it's going to help a lot of listeners out there.
You're very welcome.
We will make sure to share Brenda's information in the description of this podcast. If you would like to reach out to her, you want more information about job searching, updating your LinkedIn account, or even revamping your resume, Brenda and her team at the Essay Expert, they can help you out. So check out those links. They're in the description of this podcast below. And I want to thank all of you for listening to Soul Source. If you want to hear more of episodes like this, you can get those by subscribing to Soul Source. We are up on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, as well as just about any other podcast hosting site. And if you haven't heard us talk about something that you want us to talk about, or if you want us to discover something more, if there's a topic out there you are dying to hear Soul Source talk about, let us know. We have a Facebook page. It is called Soul Source Society. It's on Facebook, and it is a place where we interact with our listeners, share special content that you only see in that group. We talk about shows, get ideas for future podcasts, and overall, we just have a lot of fun, honestly. That's Soul Source Society on Facebook. We really hope to see you there. Soul Source is brought to you by Red Shoes, Inc., a leading agency specializing in crisis and strategic communications, media relations, social media, and so much more. To learn more about Soul Source and Red Shoes, visit us at redshoesinc.com.